God sure has blessed our church with people with great voices, hasn't he? It sure encourages my soul before the preaching to hear our hearts stirred through music. And so we're excited again today, Brother Dan Knickerbocker with us and his wife, Miss Anne Marie. Miss Anne Marie, do you mind standing so we can all know who you are, if you don't mind? And Brother Knickerbocker actually is the man who's responsible for me finding out about the opening of this church for the youth ministry position. So I appreciate Brother Knickerbocker. We've been friends for a long time. And Brother Knickerbocker served, most of you all know him, he served for a number of years as a director of Crown Southwest, which is also North Seminary, and also the camp and a lot of things. But Brother Knickerbocker entered back into full-time evangelism just last year. And every time he preaches, the Word of God comes forth powerfully. And I know that you'll enjoy Miss preaching. We're excited to have you here today, Brother Knickerbocker.
Thank you so much, brother. Appreciate you. What a delight to be here at Heritage. Thank the Lord so much for the Crawfords. What a blessing they've been. And I'm so thrilled that the pastor's wife got to go to Israel. What a huge blessing that is. My wife and I had the privilege of going, and when you read the Word of God, it just comes alive. And to walk where Jesus walked is a beautiful thing, isn't it? Amen. Well, we're delighted to be here. My wife and I are on the road full time, serving and ministering in churches where God leads and directs. We do have a book table back there. There's a number of CDs, old CDs of old preachers. There was a fellow named Cody Dawson that went around the country in the 50s, 60s, and 70s with a reel-to-reel recorder and recorded some of the great preachers of days gone by. And there's a lot of good preaching back there to look at, and if you're interested in it, also some books that will help our ministry. We even have a used book section. If there's anything in there you want to take, just help yourself. And we just thank the Lord for the privilege of being in His service. Isn't it great to be in the Lord's house today? Let's take our Bibles and stand together and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6. I want to take you to the life verse of my mom and dad, David and Lois Knickerbocker. My mom and dad had the privilege of starting five churches, starting five Christian schools, and raising five boys to serve the Lord. And I have a heritage. And I'm so grateful that the Lord has given me the opportunity to preach this message. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Let's pray together, may we? Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning in the name of our Savior, the One that suffered and bled and died that we might be saved. So thankful that He rose again, and that now He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. Oh God, I pray today that You would speak to every heart present. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here this morning that have never trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day they get saved. To those that are saved, oh God, help us to long after righteousness and Your kingdom. And we know, Lord, that if we do that, You will give us so many, many wonderful things to enjoy. And that is most of all Your presence in our lives. Speak to us, I pray today, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. It was back on November the 11th, 1996, that my father and mother were in an automobile accident, and my mother's life was taken as far as this world is concerned. The following Tuesday, she was supposed to speak at a ladies' meeting, and she had left on the dining room table an outline, 10 ways to raise a godly family. Well, she never got to teach it, but she sure lived it. Amen. This morning, I'd like to speak on the subject, 10 Ways to Raise a Godly Family. This is my mother's message, ladies, and I know that it'll be a blessing to you. Did you know the philosophy of the world today is get all you can get, any way you can get it. We're a very materialistic society. But the Word of God says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, we've got it turned around. We want all these things, and if God fits in, great. If He doesn't, tough. The philosophy of this world is, what's in it for me? What can I get out of this world? And to the Christians, is what can I give to this world that would make a difference for eternity? And we know that Jesus is the one that makes the difference. You know whether you're saved or not. And if you're not, why wouldn't you want to have all your sins forgiven? Wouldn't you want a mansion in heaven? Wouldn't you want to be able to be a part of a family of people that love the Lord Jesus Christ? I've always said this in relationship to marriage, that I want to marry the person that loves the Lord more than she loves me. For then you have someone that will always be what the Lord wants her to be. And I say that for the man as well. But I want to give you 10 things that my mother wrote down that I believe will be so helpful. And I hope you'll take notes if you would today. Number one, be prayerful. Be prayerful. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, pray without what? Ceasing. When I was a little kid, in fact, really all of my life living at home, if I got up early, I'd see my mother seated in her chair there in the living room reading her Bible. If I got up late, which was normally the case, I would see her on her knees with her head buried in that chair praying. And I knew who she was praying for. She was praying for me. Amen. My mother was a great Christian. She loved the Lord. I said to my father a few years after my mother went home to be with the Lord, my dad came to spend some time with us, and I said, Dad, I've got a very important question to ask you. After we boys left home, did Mom still go to that chair every day and read her Bible and then pray? He said, all of our marriage, she's done that. Up until the day she went home to be with the Lord. I think she could say, be prayerful. Amen. And mean it. Prayer often has been underestimated. Amen. Everything must be bathed in prayer. When I was growing up, we would have supper at 5 o'clock sharp, and after supper, my dad often would take his Bible and walk over to what is called Sanford Lake. There was a tree that had fallen down over there, and he found a place to meet the Lord. He didn't go there every day, but many days he went there. When he came back, he was always encouraged. My dad was a very upbeat person and loved the Lord and made many sacrifices to serve the Lord. But his prayer request got through. And I saw a man that absolutely loved the Lord. And you know, my parents never gave me a reason to not want to serve the Lord. And I thank the Lord that they were a father and mother that knew how to get a hold of God. Number two, be an example to the believer. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. How are we to be an example of the believer? The Bible says, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. An unrebukable character is what I believe is very important. Nobody should have the goods on you, if you know what I mean. We ought to be able to go anywhere at any time, and people be able to say of us, he or she is an example of what a believer is supposed to be. I think that our conversation is very important. It's one way to live in the pulpit, but it's another way to live when I'm not in the pulpit? And how can I influence you for God if I have not been influenced by God? Amen. Our conversation is very important. Our spirit. We're to be men and women of faith. We're to live lives of purity. Oh God, forgive us for our impurities. I believe that's what confession of sin is all about. I believe that's what repentance is all about. You know, there are some people that, you know, they accepted Jesus Christ maybe at a young age and they got away from the Lord and they feel as though, how could God ever accept me now? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that washes away our sin. Amen. That puts us in a proper standing with God. And the beautiful thing about God is He will always love us. His love does not, it's not like ours, you know. I love you, but I don't like you. Not that type. No, a love that is everlasting, that is never dying, that is always there. That would make a person want to be saved. And I think it'd be a way to cause people to want to live for the Lord and serve the Lord. What a Savior we have. And our conversation and the way we conduct ourselves ought to always be an example. You young people, an example to each other. People are watching our lives. Oh, may we be an example of those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, be united with your husband. Oh, that's so important. A husband and a wife must be united and undivided. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 24, it says, submit, speaking of the husbands and wives, submit yourselves one to another, notice now, in the fear of God. Have we lost our fear of God? We must have a reverential awe of who God is. His presence ought to be captivating. Our lives ought to be consumed with His presence. It goes on to say, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto who? The Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. You know, my mom and dad, they really got along. I said to my mother one day, this is, well, I was a teenager, I'm sure, at that point. I said, Mom, don't you and Dad ever fight? Because, you know, we knew some people that lived close to us. Got to watch out for those people that live close to you, amen? Boy, they could really fight. We had a fellow that lived right down the street from the church, and him and his wife would get into it, and buddy, he'd come on, he'd slam that door, and he'd go out and get in his 68 Chevy Caprice Classic that had a 455 in it with a... I love to hear it. And my dad would have to stop preaching when he went by. And if he was in a rage, buddy, by the time he got past the front of our church, he was doing about 80 or 90 miles an hour. And man, those pipes were talking. Amen. You know, it was amazing how I said to Mom, I said, didn't you and my dad ever fight? And she said, well, you know, you couldn't stay awake forever. I said, so you fought while we were sleeping? She goes, well, that's when we had our discussions. I said, well, I never was woke up during any of your discussions. She goes, well, that's just the way it was. We worked everything out. And, you know, I couldn't divide my parents. Some parents are easily divided. I could not. I'd go to my mom and say, Mom, can I do this? She said, what'd your father say? And I used to think, I'm not talking to my father. And so I'd say, Dad, Mom said I had to ask you if I could do this. She goes, well, what'd your mother say? Well, she said I couldn't. Well, then you can't. Case closed. That's amazing. That's amazing. And it's consistent. And children, they can detect inconsistency like that. Oh, that we might be united as a husband and wife. That we might not pit one against each other. That we might not try to get our way over the expense of our spouse. There was a woman one time that once regretted or fretted rather, over the usefulness of her life. She feared that she had been wasting her potential being a devoted wife and mother. She wondered if the time and the energy that she gave, that she invested in her husband and her children, would really make that much of a difference. At times she got discouraged because so much of what she did seemed to be totally unnoticed and unappreciated, by the way. Is it worth it? She often wondered. Is there something better that I could do with my life and my time? It was during one of those moments of questioning in her own mind that she heard the still small voice of the Lord say to her, "You are a wife and a mother because that is what I've called you to be. Much of what you do is hidden from the public eye, but I notice everything. Most of what you give is done without remuneration, but I am your reward. Your husband can't be the man that I've called him to be without your support. Your influence upon him is greater than you think and more powerful than you will ever know. I bless him through your service, and I honor him through your love. Your children are more precious to me than they are to you. I have entrusted them to your care to raise them for me. What you invest in them is your offering to me. You may never be in the public spotlight, but your obedience shines as bright as a light before me. Continue on. Remember that you are my servant and do what you do to please me." God speaking. Oh, that we might understand that there's a God not only in heaven, but that tabernacles in our heart. And He wants us to do everything we do for His glory and for His honor. Number four, be loving but firm. My dad's favorite verse when we were growing up, especially when we were teenagers, was Proverbs 22:15. Many of you know this verse and many of you have experienced it. "Foolishness is bound to the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him." Oh man, I many times went to the woodshed for bloodshed. Amen. My dad and I, we went on whaling expeditions. In fact, my dad loved me so much, he disciplined me more than all my other brothers combined. I'm not bragging about that, I'm ashamed. But thank the Lord, he never gave up on me. Amen. I remember when we were just little kids, Timmy, Tommy, and Danny, you know, my mother, she'd spank us on a regular basis, daily basis. I mean, 3, 4, 5 times a day, she'd go into the bathroom there and put the oak toilet seat down and sit down and boom, 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 you know, "Come on, come on, come on." She'd go through that whole routine. She said to my dad one time, she said, "David, does that work?" He said, "The Bible says it does, so just stay at it." Amen. It'd be awful if you grew up and never received the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. My, I can still feel the stings. Amen. He pulled my soul right out of hell. You know that? I want to tell you something. It was my dad that brought me to Christ. He said to me one day, "Daniel, I've never seen any indication that you're really saved." I thought, good night, if my dad doesn't see any indication, there isn't any. And I went and got my Bible, sat in the rocking chair in our cottage on Round Lake in Sonora, New York, and I trusted Christ with my life. I was a preacher's kid, but I was 14 years old. You see, the first time I went through the motions of getting saved was a Sunday morning when we had an evangelist come and preach a hot message on hell. And I was about the third row back, and I came forward, but nobody dealt with me. If they had, I'd have gotten saved. It wasn't until I was 14 years old that I was truly born of the Spirit of God. And it was my father that got in my face in love. Well, I don't know how much he was loving me at that point. He was telling me the truth, you know. The truth hurts sometimes. That night when my dad came home, I thought, man, I can't wait for dad to get home to tell him that I got saved. He'll be thrilled. I mean, you know, he may just kill the fatted calf and give me a ring and put a robe on me. Amen. And so he came in. I said, hey, dad, guess what I did today? And he goes, what, son? I said, I got saved. He said, we'll see. Then I had to prove it, you know. Your life is living proof or no proof that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, we must be loving, but we must be firm. Number five, be patient, but stand by your rules. Be patient, but stand by your rules. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We must remember that our children are still learning. Remember some of the dumb things you did when you were a kid? Hello. My kids were much better than I was, I can tell you that. We must be patient with our children. You know, some families, the only time the kids hear from their parents is when they're yelling about something. Where's the love and the interaction and the hugs? Where's the I love yous and I'm sorry? Where's the times where we invest in our children, not just in giving them a good education or giving them a nice home to live in and providing them with all the amenities of life, but giving them yourself? That's your greatest gift. I remember hearing the story about a preacher friend of mine told me this. He was preaching in the nursing home, and he said a man came up in a wheelchair, wheeled himself up to the preacher. He said, could you come to my room after you get done preaching? He said, I'd be glad to do that. And so they met in his room. And in tears, this man said to the pastor, he said, you know, he said, I was really ripped off, really mad at my kids for putting me in this place. He said, for a long time, I just gave them a hard time, and it got to the place where I complained so much they put me in here that they wouldn't even come and see me. He said, finally it dawned on me one day, as I was sitting here all by myself, he said, I realized that I had given my kids everything but myself. I'd given them an Ivy League education. I'd given them all the toys they would want. I'd given them money for everything they needed, but he said, I'd failed to give them of myself. And he said, so one day, he said, I called all my kids together. Some of them came grudgingly, but they were all there. And he said, I began to explain to them why I was where I was at. And he said, I deserved to be here. I'm surprised that any of you would even have allowed me to come here. And he apologized for the lack of time that he had spent doing everything but what his children wanted to do. And he said, would you forgive me? With tears, they forgave him. He spent more time in their homes than he did in the home, you know. Why? Because he had swallowed his pride and confessed his sin and asked for forgiveness. Boy, what a blessing it is when we do that. May God help us not to die with regrets, not to finish our lives in loneliness because we failed to invest our lives in those that we say we love. Number six, be consistent. Oh, consistency is so important. James chapter 1 verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You know, we wonder sometimes why the society at large today is so double-minded. I'm shocked, aren't you, how little discernment people have today? I mean, just think about some of the things that are going on in our government. And even in our churches, where it appears there's just no discernment. You know why? Because they're living inconsistent lives. Did you know when you don't live a consistent, godly life, you begin to lose power at making right decisions? I've been shocked at some of the decisions people have made. When I was a pastor, I had a fellow come to me one time, and one of our men, one of our good men, he said, "Pastor," he said, I want to leave my wife. I need your approval for it. He said, "I want your blessing on it." I said, "Are you kidding?" I said, "Why would you want to do that?" He says, "I hate my mother-in-law." I said, "That's no reason. Good night." Huh? She's a good cook. I've ate her food. No, but isn't it ridiculous how people come up with these things? You wonder, what are they thinking? No, he was involved with another woman. His thinking was skewed because he'd gotten away from God. I'll tell you what, you better be consistent in your public life and your private life. May God help us in this area. Oh, listen, there's no room in God's work for inconsistency. Let yea be yea, the Bible says, and your nay, nay. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Follow through with the decisions that you believe God has called you to, because there's consequences if you fail to be obedient to the Lord. Number 7, be protective. Be protective. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." The Bible also says, "Evil communications corrupt good manners." You must protect your children from some of their friends. You must be careful what you allow in your children's lives. My dad took the position of no TV. Now, this is ancient. This is old school here, man. No TV. Never had a TV growing up. Boy, I'd love to go to my friend's house. And we had a family in the church that felt sorry for us, and so they were upgrading and getting a new television. So they brought us a TV. Now, this dates way back when they had them in big oak console furniture with a big TV in it, and then they had a stereo or whatever on either side, mirrors. They thought they were really giving it. So they said, "We want you to have this, Pastor." And they brought it by. Beautiful, gorgeous, oak cabinet television. All we, man, us boys were like, we were ecstatic. And we got there, and he said, "Thank you so much." And then they left, and he said, "Hey, boys, go get your tools." "Tools? Yeah, get your tools." And he said, "Take that big tube out of there, that TV tube. When you smash that thing, it makes a boom like that. White dust. It's awesome, man." And boy, he had us then. "Let's do it." Man, we took that. And he made a bookshelf out of that TV case. What was he thinking? I never lusted over that bookcase. Hello. Pick up the phone. Listen, the media is killing our spirituality. The internet. All the things that we've been consumed by. The media has just saturated our minds with all the things that we're getting too much of the wrong information. My dad protected us of it. I'm glad he did. I am so glad that he protected us. He provided Christian education for us. He was a firm believer in it. Train up a child in the way he should go. Amen. Very important. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. That's a biblical principle that can be honored and blessed by our great God that gave it. We must protect our children. Think about this. You have a child from the cradle. All the way through till their college age, you've trained them, you've taught them, you've explained to them, you've warned them. And then they get under some peer pressure and they throw away all those years. That scares me to think of how many kids are lost because, oh, that's what mom and dad believed. I think it's up to 70% of the young people that graduate from high school are not going back to church. You say, why? It's because mom and dad believed it. But they never took it as their own. That's dangerous. Oh, we must protect our family. Number 8, be careful about spoiling them. My dad and mom had no money to spoil us. Amen. My dad was starting churches. Be careful about spoiling your children. Colossians chapter 3 verse 25 says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Don't give them everything they want. Make them earn it. Amen. Boy, some of the things we want, aren't you glad God didn't allow us to have them? Amen. It would have ruined us. We had a boy that lived on the lake with us. We lived on Round Lake. It was a little lake there in central New York near the Finger Lakes region. And this big shot lawyer, he was an employee of Corning Glassworks in Corning, New York, and he came out to the lake and built this gorgeous home. 6 sliding glass doors, all brick all the way around. It's beautiful. Man, we grew up in, let's say, wow, man, that's living right there, you know. Well, they had a son named Mike Anderson. Oh, he was spoiled. They gave him everything but love. But love. He would come to our devotions, our family devotions, and when Mike was small, he would sit on my dad's lap, and my dad would read the Bible, and us boys were sitting around, and mom was there, and we'd have devotions, and he said, Mr. Knickerbocker, he said, I'm the richest kid on the lake. And later, after devotions was over and Mike had left, Dad told us later, he said, you know, when Mike said to me, Mr. Knickerbocker, I'm the richest kid on the lake. He said, I thought to myself, you're the poorest kid on the lake because you don't know Jesus. What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world but loses his soul? Oh, listen. We must not spoil our children. We must make them work. We must labor with them. We must show them to be responsible. Teach them to be an example to others. You know, I hear a lot of people saying today, boy, it's hard to find good workers. I wonder why. If we ever have a depression in our country, this youngest generation is going to be in big trouble. And so are many of us that raise them. Who's going to take care of them? Oh, may God help us to train. I remember my dad said to me one day, he said, Daniel, would you like some new clothes? I thought he ran into some money or something because my dad never said, would you like some new anything? Would you like some new clothes? I said, I would. He goes, why don't you get yourself a job? Huh? One time I told my dad, I want to grow long hair, you know. He said, where are you going to live? No spoiling there. Man, he taught us boys to work. He said, the Bible says if a man will not work, neither should he eat. I love to work. Don't you? Number 9. Be flexible as they mature. Be flexible as your children mature. The Bible says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, what did I do? I put away childish things. Wow. Childish things. I remember we were teenagers, and A friend of mine, Mike Russell, was having a party at his house. And I knew it was a dance party. And I said, "Dad, Mike's having a party up at his house." I may have said birthday. I can't remember. My memory comes and goes. You know what I mean? And I said, "Can we go up there?" And he goes, "Yeah, go ahead." So Tom and I, my older brother Tom, we took off, rode our bicycles up there to Russell's. Well, we walked in, and Mrs. Russell came to our church and her two worldly daughters and her son. So we knocked on the door, and she goes, "Why are you here?" The preacher's kids. "Why are you here?" "Oh, we came to the party." "You did? Okay, well, just go through the kitchen, then down the stairs to the basements. They're down there." And you could hear the house doing this. Boom-boom. Boom-boom. I thought, wow. Chandeliers rattling. No, I'm just kidding. And so we walk in, and we start going down those stairs, and it got dark as we got down. And, you know how when you have to adjust your eyes? And I noticed that there was little dots running around like this all over the place. And then the room turned red and blue and green. How many remember those good old days, right? Yeah. And I saw people doing this, you know. I'm really dating myself now, right? And man, Tom looked at me and I looked at, the rock music was going and these kids were hugging on each other and rowing boats and things like this. And Tom looked at me and I looked at him and said, "We got to get out of here." And Tom goes, "Wait a minute." He said, "There's food over there." And so here's this Baptist preacher's kid, you know, marching across the dance floor to get some food, you know. Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. Where do you think the first place we wanted to go when we got out of there? We wanted to run back and tell Dad, "Man, Dad, I can't believe it. We went up there to that house and they were doing a bunch of things they shouldn't have done. I felt uncomfortable, man. I got out of there." And I think my dad probably said to himself, "Praise the Lord. They passed a test." How you doing on passing tests? God will allow tests to come into our lives to prove whether we are mature or not. To prove whether we are spiritual or not. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life is not of the Father." Oh, may God help us to mature. And as we grew up, God used my dad and mom to help us to learn some things to stay away from. And oh, I'll tell you what, the glowing testimony is not the person that went out and lived like the devil and finally got right. Amen. It's the person that never went Amen. Bad. Amen. Thank God for young people that don't Amen. Go bad. Amen. Thank God for them.
Amen.
Because they're rare. Number 10. Be willing to let them go. You know, it's a lot harder to let our children go than we think. My mother had for her own personal life verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Releasing your children from your apron strings. Being willing to let them go. I love telling the story about my brother Tim. When he was 12 years old, we had a lady come, and she was a missionary, a single missionary in France. And she got up and gave a little spiel in our Sunday school hour. And she told about how only 3% of all of the French people go to church on Sunday. Think about that. That's all religions combined. 3%. At 12 years old, my brother Tim got a burden to be a missionary in France. He started telling everybody, "I'm going to France as a missionary." And I thought, yeah, right. He'll get over it. Never did. He never got over it. He graduated from high school at age 15. At age 16, he was on a plane going as a student missionary to the field of France. He went to the town of Toulouse, And there, under the training of Art Somerville and a number of other missionaries, within 3 years, he had his education down. On weekends, they were going out starting churches. Pretty amazing. God used him in an amazing way. I always thought, boy, Tim, how could I ever keep up with Tim? Then my brother Tom went to Appalachian Bible Institute and studied music and ultimately became a school teacher and a school principal and then a pastor. How can I keep up with that? And God called me. See, I had somebody that was ahead of me that gave me a reason to want to live for God. I was so proud of my brothers because they were serving the Lord. And then my brothers that followed me, my two brothers that followed me, the same thing happened. All of us wanted to serve and please the Lord. But Tim was exceptional, it seemed. After Tim got on a plane at 16 to go to France as a student missionary, my mom told my dad. Remember, we wanted to go to Pakistan as missionaries, and the mission board wouldn't allow us because of your health, my dad's health. He had Crohn's disease. She said, I began praying, Lord, if you ever give us any children, may our first child be a missionary. And sure enough, it happened. She never even told Dad about that until after Tim was on that plane. That's a woman of prayer, amen? Amen. Listen, let your children serve the Lord. Listen, the ministry is not the last option. It ought to be the first opportunity. Many say, well, if they can't make it in the real world, we'll let them be a preacher. Or I want my kid to make a lot of money so he can take care of me in my old age. Why don't we put God first? Say, my child belongs to God. And if it moved him to the other side of the world, we'll be able to spend eternity together in glory. My dad said, you boys are going to be scattered all over the country. And we won't see each other a lot. But when we do get together, it'll always be a delight. And isn't that the truth? May God help us. Let's bow together in prayer, may we? While every head is bowed and every eye closed, you know, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today is the hour. In simple faith, put your trust in Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart and be your Savior. The greatest decision you'll ever make is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. That brings salvation. We're going to have an invitation. We're going to ask everyone to stand. Let's stand together. If you've never accepted Christ, please come and get saved. Maybe you need to join the church. God's been dealing with you about that. Please come. Maybe God's been dealing with you about your home and your family and your children. You young people. God knows where you're at. He knows what you're into. He knows what you need. Maybe you need to just come and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't been the Christian, the parent, the child that I really ought to be. I've been doing things that I know God's not pleased with. And I must repent of it that I might have God's forgiveness and then have God's blessing. As the pianist begins to play, brother, as you begin to sing, the altar's open. Please come. Please come and do business with God. Come on.